Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Ms. Sugar of Faith-Based Purpose. I am your moderator. Your host is Evangelist Patricia Williams, co-host Reverend Roosevelt Williams. The call-in number for the show is 718-305-6798. Again, that's 718-305-6798. We would love to have you join our discussions. Bring your scripture, bring a friend, and be a part of the show. We thank you for your support. Now let's get back to our discussions.
Good evening, this is Ms. Sugar on Faith-Based Purpose. I would like to welcome you to the show where our hosts are Evangelist Patricia Williams and Reverend Roosevelt Williams. And hello to the both of you.
Good evening, how you doing?
Okay. We had a little problem there. Blog Talk kind of locked up, so we had a real helpful customer service person that came in and reset it for us. So it had kicked you out, Evangelist Williams, for a minute. Wait a minute, she can hear. I'm sorry, I did not bring her on. There you are, Evangelist Williams. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Can you hear me now?
I can.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I was saying that we had a problem, but they told us that they would monitor the show for a minute to make sure that everything went well. That's why you got kicked out earlier.
Okay.
So everybody is having a wonderful Monday so far?
Yes. Great.
All right. And you ready for this discussion?
Yes, I am. I know Reverend Williams is excited because he has a lot of scriptures to share.
I know. I know.
Yes. Yes, we do.
Right.
I'm afraid we just can't get through them all, but we can work with one.
Reverend Williams, if you notice, our time has changed. We were on at 5:30, but we changed it to 6:30. And what was that? Last month, Reverend Williams sponsored the program. This month, Evangelist Williams sponsored the program. So we're just moving right along.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
So you know, we have a little time to do some discussion today. And I do have a couple of songs that I would like to play. So whenever we get to a point where we have to look for a scripture or look for, you know, something, then I'll play a song and we'll have a little time to do that, to kind of get everything together, you know, but still enjoy the program. And today we're talking about sin consciousness and what does it mean. I know, you know, Reverend Williams?
Yes.
I know you've been wanting to talk about this for a while, and you found several scriptures on it, and I know I kind of always throw a little curve in there when, because so people have so many different ways of looking at a topic, which you point out to me quite often, and sin consciousness, I guess when I ask the question, about sin consciousness, I think we all already know what it means, because I asked my 16-year-old granddaughter today, what did sin consciousness mean to her? So I think we all know what it means, just for the listeners, what I was kind of speaking of is, because, you know, there was a part two to that, the goodness of God will bring a man to repentance.
Okay.
Remember that was the part two of the sin consciousness and what does it mean. With that being said, it's, if you know that something is wrong and you do it, you know, is that sin consciousness?
Before we get started, I would like to know what your 16-year-old daughter said.
What my 16-year-old daughter said? They want to know what to you is sin consciousness.
Sin consciousness is when you think about sin, but you don't do it. You think about doing it, but then you don't do it.
Okay.
That means that you would be aware of what you've done after knowing it was wrong to do. Is that what you're saying?
Now, repeat that again, Evangelist Williams.
Asking her if she knew it was wrong, would she say sin conscious is knowing something is wrong and then do it anyway? You know, if you're conscious of something and you do it, then is that what she's saying sin conscious is? She's conscious of whatever it is that's not right, and if she does it, then she knows that it's wrong, but she does it anyway. Is that what she's saying?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, girlfriend. Okay.
All right. Now you know who that is. That's Lil Sugar.
Mm-hmm. She said she's smart like a granny.
I tell people that's my doppelganger.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that's my mini me. But okay, so that's it, and we're gonna talk about sin consciousness according to the scripture.
Okay.
So I know Reverend Williams, I know you're ready to jump in there.
Now, how many did you have, Reverend Williams?
Okay. To start us off, to get us in the right direction. Y'all forgive me, I got a pen in my mouth. To get us in the right direction of where we going, your granddaughter is right there in it. Okay? She explained it from the hip as we look at this. Sin consciousness is knowing something wrong, but yet we're going to do it anyway. But now, if we go into Titus, we're going to work out of Romans 1 and 8, okay, through 8 through 28. But if we go to Titus, the book of Titus 1 and 15, then we can see the direction. That your granddaughter is in that direction of what is being said, okay? And in Titus 1 and 15, it says, to the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and conscience are corrupt. Then when you go to 16, it says, and they claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. So in other words, it's saying that they talk godly, but they think morally. We know that God is things of good morals. Standards, but they reverse it into immoral standards. Okay? And that's the direction. In other words, when you know something is wrong, but yet you want to bring something into it, you know that God don't deal with sin, but you want to bring a sin in to try to make it right. And this is what it's saying, that Titus is talking about false prophets who came. And so when you go to Romans 1:18 through 28, this is what sin conscience begins to talk about. We're traversing the when we have a conscious, a conscious mind to sin, but we don't want to recognize the wrongness of it. That's what I'm trying to put it. Okay. You have something, Minister Williams, you want to share?
Oh, I'm just enjoying this. Those are two.
Okay. And so if we go to Romans chapter 1, looking at verse 18, starting off with it, it is long. Believe me, y'all, it's long. But I'm going to try to go through some verses. But do anybody have a question on what I just read so far?
No, I don't.
I want to get the comment because it's really awesome. Unto the pure, all things are pure. Now, we know we've got to have a change of heart for the word to say we're pure, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And if we are by any means defiled or if we are unbelieving in any kind of way, does that make us out of eyes? So this is where a lot of times we disagree. Even the ones who are saved and have had a change of heart is because we are on different levels. Salvation is different things. We are all of us on different levels. And this is why sometimes it seems like we may not agree. But when Titus makes it just plain, as my kids can say, he was real wrong with that. When he says, unto the pure, all things are pure. I like that. I mean, that started off with a big plus, because we've got to, in order to understand the spirit word, we've got to be spirit-led and spiritually led, because we just really can't receive it. If we, if we just don't have some kind of, that's why when Little Sugar said, you kind of got to have a conscience to know right from wrong. And then if you do it, you did it on your own, in other words, because you knew better. So I like the way she explained it very well.
Uh-huh. And that's what God wants us to understand, is that, first off, we who walk godly, we should be living sober-minded.
That's right.
I'm talking about sober-minded of coming to drinking, but sober-minded by the Spirit of God.
Yes.
And not walking in the drunkenness of the world by that other old type of spirit they call.
Yeah, making the right choice.
Making the right choices. Doing what you know exactly is right.
That's right.
You know, let me put it like this. You know marijuana is wrong. Okay, but the thing is, we want to try to make it into a right by saying God made trees. Okay, and so the thing is, I'm trying not to go to some areas. I don't want to offend nobody, but when you go to Romans 1 and 8, it's going to take you into the area where both sides can be, sin conscious, And so I was looking and I began to mark. Man, when you look at Romans chapter 1, 18 through 28, if anybody have it, I was going to read from verse 1 in the NIV so that everybody can get a good understanding.
You're going to read from verse 18 through 28?
Yeah, well, not all the way, but just some verses there that we have that we've marked it off.
Okay, and you're going to read from the NIV?
I'm going to go from the NIV.
Okay.
Well, I already have the King James marked off.
Okay.
NIV, but I wanted to read the verses from the NIV so everybody can get a good, clear understanding of what the wording is for the King James.
Okay.
So did you, were you going to read it, or do you have it there available, or you asking somebody to read it, or what?
However, somebody want to read it, if somebody want to read it, or I can read it, okay.
It's up to you.
I
know we asked. You already, or do you already have it?
Uh-huh.
Okay, if you already have it, then go, hey, go with it.
Okay, so I got to work with my King James because I already marked the scriptures off, and I got to look at little bitty numbers in this NIV. Y'all know how NIV was, them numbers so small.
Okay, now I have the NIV available. That's what I was asking you. If you don't
okay.
have it already
okay.
available,
no.
I can read it. But I just need,
okay.
you know, you to let me know which
and
way you want
to
go
I'll
with
tell
it.
You the, okay, I'll tell you the verses to read. And, okay, so the first verse I need you to read is beginning at verse 18 through 19.
Okay, verse 18.
The wrath of Yahweh. Go ahead.
Go ahead and say what you're going to say.
In other words, remember what I read over in Titus, what we read about, that there are those who want to walk unconscious of what God has already said. And these are false teachers want to change the goodness of God into a lie and to fit their own needs. Okay.
Okay.
Let's start off with our first verse.
Okay. And what I have in Romans 1, beginning at 18, it's headlined as God's wrath against sinful humanity. And it says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how far
okay.
do you want me to go?
Now, I'm getting ready. That's far as I need you to go right now. Okay? Do everybody understand what it's saying right here, right?
Yes.
Okay? And so, understand it. Now, if you go to go down to verse 21, 22, and 23.
Okay, so skip 20 and go to 21.
21, 22, and 23.
Okay. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles.
Okay, now skip that 24. Okay, now people can read the rest on their own time, but get us to 25 and 28. We're not going to mess with 26. We don't want nobody to get into another whole description, no, a whole other section. But they can read 26 and catch it. But go do 25 and 28.
25 says, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worship and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And 27? 28.
Well, just for the sake of it, go ahead. Go on, go to 25 through 28. Take the all of it, 26, 27, because that's going to clarify everything then. But we ain't going to get into all the other stuff. We're trying to get to our topic, okay? Just do those four there, the rest of those three. 25 through 28. And that's where we're going to stop there.
Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to depraved minds so that they do what ought not to be done.
Amen. Amen. So in other words, when you think about our topic, talking about sin consciousness, is that people who have a sin conscience, is that reversing it, they have a conscience of sin. That's what Titus is talking about over there. They have that conscience of sin that they want to wrap up in their own flesh, but yet they want to talk about God and turn him into a whole lie. Okay? And I hope I'm not taking anyone so fast or no one understand. If they have a question or anything, feel free to ask. But I'm just trying to get us to understand what your granddaughter was saying is all wrapped up into all that. It's just in scripture. But when you know what is wrong, but you want to turn it into a whole different lie to please your own flesh and your own self. And then we're taking the creator and we're trying to worship the creature being. Because to worship the creator, you're going to do that which is of the creator. And that's walking in morals, but also in the word of God and by the goodness of God. That's why the Bible says, tells us, think upon those things that are good, those things that are pure, those things of good report. That's why the Bible lets us know that God is pure and he is of a good report. Okay, so I take my hat off to your granddaughter. She just broke it down to us real short and sweet. But to get folks to understand what she is saying, is that you, when you want to walk in the immoral standard that's of the world, then you have to think about it. And some people with an unconscious state, with a state of sin, is not getting ready to think about it. A drunk person, the only thing he want to do is just keep on doing what he's doing. That's an unsober mind. But a sober mind is going to think about what they're doing and looking at what they're doing and consider, is this right or is this wrong? Okay? Sister, Minister Evangelist Williams?
He's doing very well.
Huh?
It was explained very well. I mean, I say amen to the truth.
Yeah, and so the book of Romans, when we're talking about, you know, sin conscience, that's a thing that we really have to look at in today's time. I was talking to someone, and I was letting them know, even in the book of Romans, the same book, talks about meat unto idols, and it talks about the consciousness, okay? And the thing is that it lets us know what state of conscience are we in then. Because now it takes a twist in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 8 and 7, even 10 and 27, it takes you to another twist of what type of conscience we have then. And one that can lead a person to sin. And then another one where a person walking in that liberty, they're not walking in sin. And so those are some of the scriptures that I had within Titus, 1 Corinthians 8 and 7, and then 1 Corinthians 10, 27 through 22. If you can, you can read it in your own time. You can also, If you read it before the show is over with, you can ask a question. I'd be glad to answer it for you. But it talks about how someone knows their liberty, but then there's one that's looking at your liberty and thinking that you are seeing it because of the eating of meat to idols. And their consciousness, the person with the liberty, his consciousness is, this has nothing to do with my salvation. Whereas another looks at it as, you are sinning. And to them, well, it's saying that their conscience, Paul is saying their conscience is walking in another direction. And I don't want to use that word, but it's where they're not really in the level of knowing that eating of meat can't do nothing, has nothing to do with your salvation. It has nothing to do with you getting into heaven or hell. And so when you take Romans and you look at 1 Corinthians 8 and 7 and 1 Corinthians 10, 27 through 32, it has nothing, eating of meat is not going to send us to hell or heaven. Okay, and it talks about an eating of meat can be anything, but 1 Corinthians 10, 27 and 32 can clarify what those meats are, you know, because to one person, they can do something in their lifestyle and feel free about it, you see, and it talks about one of them. Then to another person, they may feel that, no, you're not supposed to do this, okay? And I'm talking in a way so that we don't get caught up into a whole other topic, but stay where we at, okay? So does everybody understand what I'm saying? Are y'all, anybody missing me? I can kind of clarify it a little bit more if anybody is, okay? So that's what I look at when we talk about consciousness of sin or seeing consciousness. Okay?
All right.
Anybody else want to add something? Sister Shirley, any other questions you want to have on that one?
Evangelist Williams, did you have any input on any of the scriptures that were read? Or?
Well, I just agree. I just agree with what Reverend Williams was saying, and I have another scripture if he's ready to leave, the Romans where he is. I have two more in Romans that clarify and bear witness to what he was saying. In Romans 6 and 6, it says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. See, because if we're conscious, we should not do it. I don't care what it is. Conscious means you know it. You're in the knowledge of it. In Romans 7 and 24, it says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? If you know that doing what you're doing is wrong and you are conscious of it, then you're headed to death. That was in Romans. Reference to Colossians 2.
You said Colossians?
Mm-hmm. The theme scriptures in Colossians 2, 11 through 14. So I just ran references on all of them. Colossians 2, 11 through 14. One of the references was Romans 6 and 6. And another one was Romans 7 and 24.
Okay.
And it's just explaining that if we know it's wrong, just don't do it.
Okay. I would like to have Reverend Williams explain Hebrews 9 and 14. I will read it so you won't have to look for it.
Hold on. Hebrews 9:14. I'm going on my computer real quick. Okay. All righty.
Okay, so you're going to read it?
You got the what you got, the NIV or the King
James? I have whatever you want it in.
Okay. I'm looking at the, I can do it in the NIV, or I can do it in the K-Lite. I do it in
okay,
ISV.
Just go ahead, whichever one.
It says,
I generally read from, I guess because I'm, so old school, I read from the King James Version, then I do the NIV, so. But that just whichever one you want to explain it from is fine.
Okay. It says, how much more will the blood of the Messiah, who through the eternal spirit offer himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from dead action, so that we may serve the living God. Now they get ready to walk over to, I'm trying to stay out of that over there because it's a whole long, in other words, how many times are we going to keep putting Christ on the cross? That's the one thing. And what it's saying is that, let's see here, unblemished to God, cleanse our conscience from dead action so that we may serve the living God. That takes you over to 1 Corinthians 8:7, 1 Corinthians 10:27-32. In other words, talks about the eating of meat. Let's just go there. Let's just go there to 1 Corinthians 8:7. Just look at that real quick. Okay? You have it, Sister Sugar, real quick? 1 Corinthians 8:7.
You have it, Evangelist Williams? Okay.
Okay.
Howbeit, therefore, is not in every man that knowledge. For some, with conscience of the idols unto their hour, eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled.
Right. That's the one where that's when it starts talking about them weak mind want to put Christ back on the cross. Okay? And that not knowing that through Christ, the blood and the sacrifice, that eating of meat ain't got nothing to do with it going to hell or heaven. It ain't got nothing to do with your salvation. Now, I'm not talking about every meat they eat. Okay? Like I said, I ain't talking about drugs. I ain't talking about all them cigarettes and stuff. Knowing that's what kills the body. But I'm talking about the eating of meat when it lets us know. It says in verse 8 in the NIV, however, food will not bring us closer to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat food that has been offered to an idol, and no better off if we do. That's what it talks about, the conscience. One man's conscience may feel that I can't do this. But another person's conscience may say, in my freedom, they ain't got nothing to do with me. They can offer idol all they want. But I'm getting ready to go over in and eat me some meat. Because, number one, it might be a 95-cent sale. But they probably do idol worshiping with it later on during in the nighttime. And so the thing is that God is trying to get us to understand is that one's conscience against not doing that which he think is wrong, and you go against it, now you have another type of sin conscience, the same as your granddaughter said. If you feel that, I'm trying not to go there, but we go there anyway, okay? Let me just take you 1 Corinthians 10:27 so I can clarify with everybody what we talking about. In 1 Corinthians 10:27, okay, and I'm going to read it from the King James, so everybody can see right then and now what we get ready to say. It says, if any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no questions for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered to idols, okay, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake. That's the one who feels that, that's the one where Hebrews talks about putting God back up on the cross, and that the blood of Christ has no avail over his life. And so it says, for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And our conscience also, in conscience sake, supposed to bring peace between all of us. And so when one feels that I'm wrong, but I know what my freedom is, I should back away from my freedom of liberty so that one won't stumble, that we can edify everything about God now between the Christian is edification. So he's trying to get us to be able to work as one, where it says, let the wheat and tares grow together. In other words, let us all grow together in one. But God's going to do all the separating. But here he's saying that that one that don't know that the meat can't harm him, then we need to understand our conscience also, my conscience of knowing can call another to see. And that makes me also be done sinned also. Because if it offends him, okay, and it goes on to tell you what it is. It doesn't say just eating of meat. It says if it's eating of meat, if it's drinking of wine, eating of foods, it's nothing to do with your salvation. So we look at certain things. As one person may not feel like, I can't drink. Drinking is wrong. That's a sin. Well, don't do it. But then another one may feel that drinking is okay. I can have a drink. But then the Bible lets us know that everything is done in an orderly fashion. That's a whole nother, that's why I didn't want to go through that, because that's a whole nother topic. But God wants us to be able to have a conscience, to know that you cannot put Christ back up on the cross. He only died once, and he ain't getting ready to do it twice. That's what Hebrews trying to tell us, that the blood of Christ has already spilled for the sins of me. Okay? And so, since his blood already done that, we should also know in our freedom that there are sins, as the Bible says, that are unto death, and then there are sins that are not unto death. And so we need to understand that there are things in our lives to not get ready to throw us into the pits of hell. But then we know that there's the sin that is going to cost you. You know, stealing, lying, drain, well, and then I say drain, stealing, lying, and the one that the Ten Commandments talks about, okay, that's what's going to get us in trouble. Because the only thing we're supposed to do is love God and love your brother. We do them too. You done all the commandments there are. And that's what God is trying to get us to understand. And I'm going to be quiet and let somebody else talk. Okay?
Okay, I have a problem.
Go ahead.
The Bible says that no sin is going to enter in. So, they're going to enter in. There are no people who are going to enter in.
Kind of breaking up on. Kind of break
yeah,
up
yeah, she's shit. Breaking up on me too.
Okay, no sin is going to enter in, but where Hebrews verse 14 is talking about, he purged our conscience In other words, our knowledge from dead works to serve the living God. We can't serve in no kind of sin, now, whether it be whatever. If it's named sin, we're not going to make it into heaven with no sin at all. Now, 1 John 1 and 7 says, but if we walk in the light, if he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Reference to that one is Isaiah 2 and 5. And it says, O house of Jacob, come let us walk in the light of the Lord. There is no occasion of stumbling in darkness. Period. So you kind of lost me when you were like, and I understand, yes, the blood of Jesus cleansed us. And we can't put him back on the cross because he's already done a finished work. We're going to have to take the word of God for what it is and what it means and run with it from there. The word does not, will not reshape to fit us because it would really be bit out of proportion. We're going to have to reshape our lives to fit the word. The word's not going to change for whatever we feel or however we feel about whatever. See, most people's flesh is, they don't want to be conscious of things that their flesh enjoy. If it's me, it's okay. It's what I want to do. But that's not it. This is not about us. This is about the kingdom. This is about what Jesus said. Now, God sent his only son to die once for all sins and for all. He's not going to die again. And I agree, I heard you say that. We're not going to crucify him afresh. He's not going to die. I mean, we're going to have to shape our raggedy selves up to fit the word. And what the word says is what it means. Whether we read out the NIV, King James, New International, Catholic Bible, or whatever we read out of, we're seeing is sin. And the only way we're going to make it to heaven is to delete every bit of it. Just like I hit things on my computer when it was up and running, and I couldn't find it. When I hit delete, it's gone. Some people say, oh, you go back. But I never could find nothing. When I hit delete, it was gone. I had to start over again. So what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to be conscious of the things that's written in the word of God that's not right. And we're going to have to not do it. Not do it. I don't care if I want a drink. I got to remember the scripture that said, wine is a marker, strong drink is raging. He that is deceived thereby is not wise. Because if you get to drinking, you're going to get drunk. If you get drunk, you're going to act a fool or do something that's not right. So the best thing to do is abstain from it. We need to run from sin like we run from a snake. But don't nobody run from no snake and start hissing. We run from a snake, especially if you don't have nothing to get in with. So we need to be serious about sin. Is that. This is an awesome topic. Sin conscious means we know a sin. And if we do it, we are doomed. Now, yes, that is repentance. But how many times are we going to do it and repent and do it and repent? We don't need to do something that we know wrong to do. And that's why I flee the appearance of evil. I don't play around. See, a lot of us stand too close to the edge. And when you start falling, it's a little bit too late. Because if you head down a cliff, if there's not a net to catch you, you're doomed. So we need to understand that we're gonna have to make most of our flesh, it's our flesh that gets us in trouble. We don't like to deny our flesh. We don't like to tell our flesh. We like to tell it yes. If it makes it feel good, do it. If it makes it sound good, say it. And then we move on right there. But we're gonna have to know. If we know right from wrong, we need to choose to do right. And walk on with God. We're in grace now. But after a while, the end of grace is going to be. So we may as well start practicing. Deleting sin and getting rid of it and leaving alone.
All right.
Okay.
I think I have a question that I would like explained. Okay, I'm hearing not a contradiction, but I hear what Reverend Williams is saying about, you know, he started listing some of the things that are in the word as far as sin, and when he got to the drinking, and he said, "Well, I'm not going to say drinking," and I understand why. I mean, I understand why he said that. And then I also hear Evangelist Williams say, "Sin is sin, and you delete all of it, and because if you start drinking, you're going to get drunk." So now, here in the middle, I would like both of you to explain a verse to me. And two verses. I guess I'm going to do two verses. But the one verse is 1 Timothy 5 and 23.
Oh, 1 Timothy 23.
5 and 23. And I always say two verses because I know sometimes it's best to read the verse before and the verse after. But
1 Timothy 5, 23. I'm trying not to turn these pages in the ears. Okay, 1 Timothy 5 and 23.
Right.
The water, use a little wine for the stomach's sake, dying. He was talking to Timothy. Is when you look at it, it says, "Drink no longer wine, no longer water." I'm going from a concordance, okay? Not a concordance, but from the theologians. Want to say a parenthetical comment in Paul's discussion with elders due to physical ailment, perhaps because safe drinking water was often difficult to find. In other words, and so Paul's saying, you know, we know that alcohol back in those days was used for infection. And when they had something wrong with their stomach or anything, they would drink wine to cure that. And so that's one thing that Paul said, to drink wine for the stomach. But then there are others that tells us, me and my daughter was talking about that this morning, but that the Bible didn't say you can't drink. It's just saying that you don't. It doesn't mean that everybody that drinks is going to be a drunkard. It just means that you don't give into it, and it's not for an occasion. Now, as I said, is that if a person in their own liberty feels, they're not sinning. Now, if they just want it always, every time, yeah, you sin, because the wine is taking over you. But if another person feels, no, I can't do that, that's not for us to step on another person's toes of their liberty. Because remember I said, everything God did is for edification. You can't put him back up on that cross. Drinking, dancing, whatever it is that a person like in their lifestyle, that's what we're talking about, lifestyle. Okay? There are things that we can do if you know your salvation and your liberty in God. He didn't put us in straitjacket. He made us to be able to live, and to live where every man has to work out their own salvation. Now, Paul is telling Timothy here, drink it for your infirmity. But Paul goes on in his scriptures to explain the uses of wine and the drinking of it, because Paul knew that Christians were going to run into these areas. And if one feels that they can't, okay, I was trying not to go into this because we're going to go way off the topic of the consciousness. My consciousness for myself is knowing that I don't want to eat. because I don't want to be a stumbling block to one who's looking at me as a minister of God. And I want people that look at me as a minister, when I minister to them, I want them to receive Christ, not Reverend Williams, but Christ. Now, what another person does, I'm not getting ready to cramp on them. Now, if they smoking marijuana, if they having casual sex, if they doing some stuff we know way out of line, yeah, I'm getting ready to let them know, you don't do that. That's seeing that. But when it comes to a person's lifestyle of enjoying themselves, okay, I don't go walking into that area because everybody has a conscience to what they do, and it does not make them walk into sin. This is what Paul is trying to get us to understand. And so one man's as Paul put, one man may bless his food, another man may not bless his food, but the same God still keeps us and saves us. And that does not mean that the one that don't bless his food, that bless his food is more closer to God than the one that don't. It's just that one desire to bless his food, and the other just decide to go on and gobble it up. But whatever the case may be, they still got a connection. Because if he believe in God, he believe in Christ, he believe in the Holy Spirit, and they walk in, you may, like I said, their lifestyle may be different. But if they still serving the same God, still paying tithe, giving worship, still walking in that love and sharing God with somebody, what makes the one more than the other? That's the only thing it is. But here, the only thing it's saying is that, okay, Timothy, take it for the remedies of your stomach. So the person that feels like he shouldn't drink, well, if he's telling Timothy to take it for your stomach, you got to get down there some kind of way. He ain't going to rub it on his stomach. But we know that Timothy is not getting ready to sit there and drink a whole full bottle. But he said, drink a little, okay, because too much of it is going to make us drunk.
But okay, now, I'm going to ask another question. Before I let Evangelist Williams respond to that, I'm going to ask a different question. And I'm going to ask this. I'm going to say something, and then I'm going to ask this question. When I was a child, very young child, I'm a chronic anemic. I'll just put it that way. I'm a chronic anemic, and from the time I was a little kid, the doctors would tell my mother to give me a small dose of Morgan David wine, okay, for my blood. I know in those days, you know, the people believed in that. So at nighttime before I would go to bed, especially after I had a nosebleed that lasted for 2 days, I would have to drink Morgan David wine. Now, with that being said, the wine in the biblical days that was spoken of, was that wine different than, because fermented wine, okay, was the wine fermented back in those days? Was it not fermented back in those days? So is there a difference in the wine when he speak of drinking the wine? The wine today, do you understand what my question is? You know what?
I understand.
Like?
I'm putting it like this. I could not answer that question. I can only tell you what the Bible says, that wine.
Right.
Whether it was affirmative, whether it was not affirmative.
Uh-huh.
Just looking at it, it says, drink wine.
Right.
But in order to
I was just wondering
stomach,
if it was fermented wine, because, you know, once something has been fermented, it's been processed. So straight, because Evangelist Williams, you grew up in the country. Well, you were from out there in the country. So you remember we used to have the trees that they were called the muscadine trees. We used to call them, as kids, we called them cutthroats because they were the wild grapes. And when you eat them, they would just tear your mouth up. And we just ate them like we didn't have no better sense than to eat them. But they were so bitter and strong that they would just tear your mouth up. So those are natural wild grapes. So, but once you get those grapes and they use them to make the drink, and they process it, so to speak, and it becomes a different, it's no longer natural. Did you understand what I'm saying? So that's what I'm asking you. Was the wine different then?
To be different because all they done in the wilderness, they picked grapes. They didn't even have all these machines to do this processing stuff.
Okay.
They didn't have machines to process it. I was very anemic. Dr. Cole, told my mother to give me one of the little half-ounce cups of Mark and David's wine. My father was a preacher.
Mm-hmm.
They kept Mark and David's wine.
Uh-huh.
That was them. This is now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying for myself, I'm still anemic.
Mm-hmm.
I can eat liver. I can eat cabbage. I know how to pray.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to take no medication.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very healthy. I'm not going to drink no wine when I became sin conscious that I could get drunk from drinking it. I don't try it. I have had alcoholics to die in my family. Cirrhosis of the liver, kill my mother. I do not drink anything. Now, if you ever want to, help yourself.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not. And in Romans 6:1, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse 2 says, God forbid it. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? In Romans 8:1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, and he lives in me, who walk not after the flesh. See, drinking anything that's fermented is after my flesh, because that's what I would desire. Who walks not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Whoever would like to drink it, God bless you. Help yourself for whatever reason.
I'm going to ask you to go back to 1 Timothy 5:23 and give me your take on that same verse that says, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine own infirmities. Evangelist Williams, Reverend Williams. Reverend Williams. I'm just asking Evangelist Williams her take on it. You've already given us yours.
Okay. It says, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine infirmities. I have no infirmities in my stomach, so I don't drink a little wine. I drink lots of water. That's my take on it.
You in the phone, Reverend Williams?
I'm in the phone.
Yeah,
they have infirmities in their stomach. Then you know, can take the word for what it says, and they can drink a little wine. I don't have an infirmity in my stomach, and if I did, I know how to pray. I will not drink a little wine for it.
Okay. All right.
I don't drink anything. I drink no alcoholic, nothing.
He's so funny. You tickle me. So we understand, and I think, you know, and I heard Reverend Williams say pretty much the same thing, but what he said was that if somebody else is reading this and they take it, that they do have issues, for infirmities, or they have those issues. Is it okay for them to drink the wine?
Well, what if they develop it also drinking the wine?
I know, but in according to the scripture, if we're going to go according to the scripture, is it okay?
Okay, ask you this. Go to the doctor for stomach infirmity. They're going to give you medicine. They're not going to give you a prescription to go get you no wine. I doubt it very seriously.
Okay.
I doubt it very seriously. They'll give you some medication. And some of the medication may have a little something that you may say is alcohol or whatever. I look on there, if it says alcohol, I don't take it. In
okay.
fact, I'll go to the bar.
Okay.
Well,
all
I mean,
right.
Can I add a little something now? It's just,
yes, sir.
You know, and cough syrup has alcohol in it. But I mean,
oh, then, yes,
just
I don't
like,
take it.
Just like Sister Sugar was saying that back then, now y'all was drinking. They gave y'all the wine, but when I was a little boy, you got a cold. You know, my grandmother would give us honey and eggs and honey, but my dad would go and fix a hot pot. And that's when you got lemon and tea, and they put a little whiskey in there.
Mm-hmm.
It'll knock you out, and it sure will cure you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the answer to Sister Sugar's question about what the tree infirmity, after thinking about it, if he says drink a little wine for the stomach, in order to non-infirmity wine ain't going to cure you back in those days. They did it back in those days. But back in those days, from Genesis all the way to, rather let's take some, from Genesis all the way to up to the epistles, they were drinking wine, okay? Noah, all of them. And nowhere the Bible tells us that they sinned, except for when the people began to party with it. It's when you party with something. Anything you do, if you get to partying with it, yes, it's going to get out of hand. But you're supposed, just like when you go out and they tell somebody, drinking and driving, you know if you done got too much, you don't get behind that car. That consequences. But the one thing it is, it's not about what we as a person. It's about, well, let me put it like this. It's not about what everybody do what you do. But as a person, we have to remember, the Bible tells us all to work, let every man work out his own salvation. And it tells you in the scripture. It tells you that. Every man must work out his own. And every man must be accordingly. Okay? I don't share too many things because somebody may be offended with it. And I'm not here to, we are not supposed to be stumbling blocks. But we keep forgetting the word edification. What man, one man, we keep forgetting that what one man do, another won't.
That's right.
And I had to tell my daughter, keep telling her that the topic we had this morning, I was talking about Christmas. Now, we ain't going to go on nobody make it out of no discussion, so we not going there. But I was just telling her, me, I don't believe in Christmas trees and lights in the house of the Lord because it's God's house. But now another church or pastor may believe in allowing Christmas lights, and that's it. But as you saying, well, your body is the temple, but still, my body may be the temple, and we all may come together in the house of the Lord and make up the church. But still, that building that has been made in the name of the Lord should be respected as God's house of worship. And she went through, I tried to show her that when Jesus beat them out of the temple, is that Jesus, it wasn't just about money change. It was about disrespecting God's house. Now, She may feel one way, and I may feel one way. But does it make it wrong to them, or does it make it right? It doesn't matter. It's what I feel. Because if I come a pastor, I'm like, we're not doing that. What somebody else do it now don't mean I'm going to do it in my house. So I'm only saying is that we have to live in a world together of looking at and respecting the rights of others. That's what God wants us to do. Because if it wasn't, he would never say, let the wheat, the tares grow together. He'll do the separating. We want to separate. But God wants us to walk together in unity and in edification. Now, we know when we get too far in the scene, you know that sex without marriage is wrong. We know you have time not to go. Gayness is wrong. You know homosexuality, as you say, is wrong. You know killing somebody is wrong. We're not doing that. But when you're talking about what folks do in their lifestyle of enjoyment, you know, me, I'll just put it like this. I go on a cruise. I'm not getting ready to spend $2,000 to go on this cruise, just fold my arms and sit in my room. In that case, I might as well stay at home. But God didn't put us in a straitjacket. He wants us to live, but he wants us not to indulge too much because it takes our mind and our thoughts off of him. But enjoy the goodness of what God has given us in order that we may be able to live in the righteousness and the peace of God. Because we can't put Jesus back on that cross. But in letting everyone know that Jesus died, that we may live free. And so we can live freely on the other side. And that's the only thing God wants in our lives. And the word of God explains it. You know, my pastor said one thing is that there are carnal people and there are spiritual people. They're Christians. Carnal people want to see and put what they want there. But if we read the word of God, it helps us in every way.
Right.
And it helps us to find that the liberty of Christ, okay, Sister Sugar already had read one of the scriptures about when John the Baptist came not eating or drinking. But then it says, and Christ who came eating and drinking. But Christ didn't abuse the eating and the drinking. Okay? And so we have to understand everyone has a liberty that they do. We know that there are many things adultery is out of line. But we have to be able to understand every man must make up in his mind how he's going to live and mean to respect that man's living according that he may be edified and drawn to Christ each and every day. Okay? That's how I look at the view of our sin consciousness. Amen.
Okay. I have another question about that, but I'm not going to ask it right now. Do you mind if I play a song right here while we kind of, kind of get back together?
Okay. Amen.
You mind, Evangelist Williams? Okay. We're going to take a break and play a song.
I was walking downtown one day, and I saw a man who appeared to be just an old wino sitting on the street telling the people about Jesus as they passed by. And because he was all raggedy and dirty, people would just laugh and make fun of the old man and walk on by. And he said, because of the way I am, no money, no fancy clothes, fine homes and cars, a lot of people consider me as nothing and say I don't know what I'm talking about. But there's one thing that he said that really touched my heart and stayed on my mind. When that old man looked up and said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. He said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, I've had so many problems in my life that I just couldn't deal with. So I started drinking, thought it would help ease my pain. But things got worse, so I said, Lord, I give up. I'm in your hands. And that's when my life began to change. But these people think I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, on the street day and night, that's my life, that's my home. Ain't got nowhere else I can go. So I just walk the street telling the people about Jesus. From corner to corner, from door to door. But they all make fun of me and say, I'm a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Oh, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Tell you he can save. The Lord save. Ooh, he can save. Save your soul. I tell you, through Jesus Christ, your life can be changed and made whole. He can bring everlasting joy and peace within your whole soul. And in many ways, I feel just like that old man. Born in the country, raised on a farm. No money, no fancy clothes, no fine homes and cars. But thank God, Mama and Daddy raised me up on the real deal. And that's God Almighty. And sometimes when I sing about Jesus and people won't listen, I feel like I'm just a nobody.
Reverend Williams?
Oh, I'm trying to wipe tears out of my eyes already.
Oh, you better stop.
No, I'm
you better stop. You don't cut that out. Yeah, that's one of my favorite songs.
That's
one of my favorite songs.
One.
Just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, yes. My question was, and then we're gonna move on. But as far as sin consciousness go, I've had talks with. I heard what you said, and I guess I wanted you to repeat. You said every person is responsible. Say that again, Reverend Williams.
I was saying that. Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
I was saying that every person on this earth is responsible for their own soul.
Okay. All right.
But to the Christian, I should have said, to the Christian, we ought to know what moderate is.
Okay.
I
got that. But there was a scripture I think that you quoted. That's what I was asking you to repeat.
Oh, let every man work out his own soul, his own salvation.
Okay. Now, with that being said, we're gonna accept that. We're gonna accept that from Reverend Williams, Evangelist Williams. Made herself clear that exactly what you just said, she agrees with. And sometimes, you know, if somebody's sitting back listening, it's like, well, but that's not what she, but it is what she said, because she said once she became saved, the wine that her parents gave her, she know now she wouldn't drink it. So. In that sense, I understand what she said. And Evangelist Williams and I had a conversation before about me, about, you know, myself. And as far as sin consciousness goes, and Evangelist Williams said it to me was, I asked her about something that I do, and knowing that she's going to be perfectly honest with me, I don't know if you remember this, Evangelist William, but you said, "Do you feel like what you're doing is wrong?
Why
do you feel? Do you feel convicted about it? Because if you feel convicted about it, then you know not to do it.
That's right.
Do you remember telling me that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay." So you know, it's all I guess a part of sin consciousness. You know, like we say, we know when we're doing wrong, and you know, it's a choice that you make if you're gonna do it or if you're not gonna do it.
And you know what? If you don't feel condemned, just keep on doing it, because the Lord will let you know. Oh, you feel a little something there. You don't have to ask anybody anything.
Right.
If you have
a
relationship with him, it's just like a man and his wife. A man and his wife know if you do something to that the other one doesn't like or that the other one doesn't please him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the way it is with God. We know. If we hurt, say for instance, I hurt somebody's feelings, our flesh may want to do that. My flesh might want to go there, and my flesh might go there. But before I go to bed at night, because of the conscience that I have, I know that I owe them an apology. And that's all I was saying. So
I am
a person, and I kept hearing Reverend Williams say, God wants us to enjoy. He wants us to live in moderation. But one of our fellowship church pastors, the ladies came up with this, when Jesus turned water into wine, he said, it is written. It wasn't bad to drink it either.
Right.
You
Amen.
Alcohol. So why would you want to do anything to stir up something that the Lord has already modified in your body, which has killed it, taken away the desire? But because you want to run across the scripture that said wine is good for the stomach's sake, do you have a stomach problem? No. Well, maybe if you start drinking wine, you'll have ulcer, so you will have a problem then. So they dropped it right there. So, you know, and I leave it up to people, because a lot of people are not where I am in God, and I know that. That's why I don't get into a confrontation about anything that's written, that I have walked in, I don't take down for what nobody's opinion is. Now, in what they think doesn't offend me, and I hope what I know in the Word, where I walk, I hope it doesn't offend them. I know a lot of people, is not on the level. A lot of people don't put hours into studying and hours into praying and hours into counseling every day. They don't do that. So then I know they don't understand a lot of things. But I don't drink. And I don't care if there's 25 scriptures in here that says wine is good for the stomach's sake or smoking is good for the eyesight. I don't smoke. There's nothing wrong with my eyes. So I'm not going to smoke because somebody says it's good for your eyesight. And I'm not going to drink. And even if the Bible says smoke is good for your eyesight, if nothing's wrong with my eyes, I'm not going to start smoking. You see what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying. And the Word of God is it's something in the Word for every situation in our lives. If you're in sin, the Word of God will clean you up. Nobody don't have to just get in and read it. Get into His face and seek His face. And He'll teach you what you need to know. But I don't feel nothing when people say, well, yeah, it's written, I read it. It's a lot of good for the stomach, but I don't have it in front of you in my stomach. I don't drink wine. I don't like the way it tastes. I'm not going to start drinking it. I know it's written in the book, but that's just not something I do. So whoever want to drink it because it's written, wine is good for the stomach's sake, then you go on and drink it. I don't party. I don't care what kind of music play. I don't dance. I don't dance. I don't go to clubs. I don't do none of that. I never have. And I'm 58. I'm not going to start. I'm not going to start. So whatever, you know, people want to do, if they call this enjoyment of the world, I believe the world. I live in the world. But I don't partake in the pleasures of the world because that's of my flesh. And I seek to kill my flesh and its desires every day. My flesh
all right.
is my everything.
All right. Now, we're going to move on to, because I really think we pretty much covered the goodness. Well, the goodness of God will bring a man to repentance. I think that was pretty much covered in the sin consciousness, in a sense. But Colossians 2:11-14. Reverend Williams, are you there? I didn't delete
you.
Oh, okay.
I'm here.
Now, do you want that read? Or did you have a chance to study on that?
Colossians 2:11-14. No, I hadn't looked at that one.
Okay.
You can read it. I'm looking at it. So you can read it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. I guess I'll read it from, the NIV. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self ruled by the flesh was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And that's through, that's 11 and 12.
Through
14. 11
through 12.
Yeah, do you want me to go on through 14?
That's one. You said,
11 through 14.
I said 11 through 14, so I'll go on with 13 and 14. When you were dead in your sin and in your uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross.
Amen. So, Wave, you want that? Or you asking me? Shirley, or you want Sister Williams?
I'm either one of you that want to go ahead and start on it will be fine.
She can go ahead. I had a whole bunch of talking. I can come in at the last. You want Sister Williams?
Well, I the references on all those, and I read them. It was just simply saying, modify our members. You know, everything that's evil and everything that's not like God, put it away. The word modify, I mean to kill it. And it was knowing that the old man was crucified and sin no longer lives in our body. So,
okay.
You know, I had already read all the references and explained them.
Yeah.
As long as we are flesh, you know, we are just really living in our flesh, living to do the things that God said don't do. And
okay.
That's basically what Colossians 2:11-14 is saying.
All right.
Just the circumcision being cut away. And in the old Bible, the men, it was the foreskin of the men, but it's talking about the circumcision of the heart because women don't have no foreskin. So.
Okay.
You'll be surprised when you what goes on today. You'll be surprised. It goes on with the women, too. Yes, it is. Yes, they do. I'm not trying to interrupt you, but it does, too. You threw Sister Weed, Minister Weed.
I threw you.
No, the circumcision, first off, was introduced. It, God introduced it to Abram to circumcise every male. It wasn't women. But in today's time, they do it over now. And they're trying to outlaw it. There are some countries trying to do it. They do it to women. But the circumcision back in those days was the showing of the covenant between God and the Israelites, or rather the Hebrews, Abraham, and it was that every male that came through had to be circumcised, and it showed the covenant between God and them, but also it showed that they were a special people of God, and even if an outsider came in, had to be circumcised. And from then all the way up to Christ, before when Christ came, even Christ when he got circumcised, because they were still looking at the laws that they had. And so when Christ came along and when he went on the cross, circumcision went out. But still, if you look over in Jeremiah, I'm thinking that's where it's at. Let me not call out scripture, I might call it wrong. But there's a scripture over in the Old Testament that says, circumcise your hearts.
Okay. Well, know that in the New Testament, Acts 15:1, it's talking about circumcise your hearts.
Right.
Because that's cutting away of the skin, like you were saying, with the males. Which
right.
Was the
in other words, you should have a concordance. You should have a concordance that takes you where it says circumcise your hearts, and the New, it says it over the old.
Yes.
So that's the circumcising that we do now is in our hearts.
That's right.
But when it begins to talk about the baptism, Jesus, who went on the cross, took away the circumcision. And so now we are unto the baptism, which the baptism shows the death, burial, and the resurrection. And so through the baptism, it signifies everybody want to come and get baptized, but really don't know. Those get circumcised, really don't know. They just do it because they had a baby. And go cutting on that baby and start hollering and yelling. And so the circumcision hurt. Believe me, I know. And
So the thing is that what it hurt it back then. But now the baptism that we go through don't hurt. It only signifies that your togetherness, your outward showing of accepting Christ.
That's
it, right? Signifies death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Because Christ died for us. Christ was placed in the grave, and Christ rose. Minister Williams said the first part is that, what is that you said about the old man and the new man?
Yeah, putting away the old man and the new man. It says in Colossians 3, talking about we need to put on, therefore, elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and it goes on down to the 14th, talking about what we need to put on, and this stuff, talking about circumcision and cutting and all of that, like you said. A lot of that was...
I'm enjoying it.
It could be saying, except you be circumcised, but that's talking about cutting away the sin from your heart. That's not talking about cutting nothing on your flesh.
Yeah, and so the thing is that now the heart ain't talking about that heart that pumps blood of that circumcision. It was talking about the spirit. Talking about that old spirit. Get away that old spirit, man.
That's right.
And so now the thing is that cutting of the flesh was giving away the infirmity that was in the flesh.
That's exactly right.
But now the thing is we get away the flesh from our hearts. In the Spirit of God, he takes it away. He circumcised that. But now understanding that when he brings in the baptism, is showing circumcision, then show the outward appearance of accepting God in the covenant, that you had a covenant with God.
That's right.
Now this here is the baptism of showing that I am accepting Christ by what? Bearing the old man. Okay, in the water, arising the new man. Okay, now let some folks say that some folks go down a dry devil and come up a wet devil. But it's actually when we do the baptism, we're supposed to, just like we do the Lord's Supper, take it in remembrance of Him. When you get baptized, the Book of Acts says, confess. Okay. Then be baptized. Be converted. Then you get confessed, converted, then get baptized. And so the thing is, we need to know that the baptism, once Christ did it, now, Sister Sugar, that takes us back to your Hebrew that you had read to us early about still Christ going up on the cross. Is that Christ went up on the cross and he ain't going no more. He died for us, and so by him going on the cross, he took where it says, and blotting out handwriting of ordinances, he said, I did not come to change the law, but I came to fulfill it. He blotted out all those ordinances that was on us because we couldn't handle it. Ooh, we can't even hardly handle the word of God right now sometimes, just as long as trying to handle all them ordinances. So the thing is that God, Jesus took all that, and that was the taking away of our sin and putting it up on him. And that's why Jesus had to say, why hast thou forsaken me? Because God had to turn his back because the sin came off of us onto his son. And his son took all that that was on us and buried it into the grave. And when he came up, now we're made alive. And because of that, that's what we represent, is that we die to the old man and we become a new creature, being alive in Christ.
Amen.
That's what God wants out of our lives, to live the righteousness. In other words, blotting out of sin that works in the flesh, circumcising what's in our heart. What's in your heart for God? How do you love God? That's what God wants for us, is to have a heart for him as David did. And as David had a heart, and God has a heart for us, He going to do for us regardless, whether we have it or not. But he wants us to have a heart for him. And it comes into everything into play. It comes into, even still, how we live, what we do, how we walk, how we talk, how we dress. It comes into how we talk to one another, how you get along with your brethren. It comes about how we do on this side, is that what Christ did for us, we should do for one another also. That's love. And so God blotted out all our sins. That tattoo you have on you, once you come to Christ, you have it all over your body, take your shirt off and walk in the middle of the church. God, people may see it and have a fit, but God does not see your tattoo. He don't see nothing about you. Okay? And so one of the things it is our pastor preached about grace, the qualification, no grace. Grace holds no qualification. In other words, he's saying that people with people always want to hold you to a qualification, a grading, something like that. But God has no grading in grace. There's no grading. Because if he did, we'll still be trying to make a grade. Mm-hmm. We'll never see no righteousness whatsoever. But with a teacher, you go into a classroom, they always grading you. And it's hard to get an A to sum up. And with the world is always trying to grade you and degrade you. But God washed out. That's what the scripture is also is saying.
Okay? All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we're gonna. It's been great. It's been a very enlightening show today. It really has. But we're gonna. And well, I'm gonna let you guys get off. I'm gonna play a couple of songs afterwards. But in the meantime, again, I want to thank you both for sponsoring the show and being a part of it. And if you'd like some quick updates on our listening audience, it'll take me about, I guess, 60 seconds to do that.
Okay.
All right. Our last segment, which was exploring the book of John, we've had 755 listeners.
Amen.
What does it mean to be a Christian? 479. But the benevolent offering, I think you guys remember we had 342 songs of praise. That was a show that I did where we just came back on and played songs, gospel songs. There was 295. Restoring order to the church, 710. God's time is not your time, 646. Exploring the perfect will of God, we had 47. Is God's grace and forgiveness limited? 134, where is purgatory and the proper dress for women in the church? 302. I think most of them, you know, we've gone over the total that we've had, but we're still growing. They're still listening, so we're doing a good thing. And it wouldn't be a show without you two.
Amen.
And I want to thank you again for that.
We love the word.
So we do have a show coming up. Right now, it's scheduled for the 17th, and it's the Enemies of the Cross. The Enemies of the Cross.
I got it written down. If you said the scripture was Romans 10:4 and 2 Corinthians 3:17-12.
Okay. Yeah. Those were the scripture. The scriptures. Enemies of the cross. What were we to be delivered from? No. Did Jesus die that we might be delivered? And if so, what was it that we were to be delivered from? And are we led by the law or the spirit? And then there are some side notes on there, which we'll go over as the show go along. But, yeah, you have the scriptures right.
They're exactly right.
What's the scriptures? What's the scriptures?
Romans 10:4, and Second Corinthians 3:7-12. And if you didn't catch them, I'll give them to you off the air. And again, like I said, we want to end the show. They do get kind of long. We start out with a few minutes, and we end up doing an extremely long show. And I appreciate patience with that too. So I'm going to say good night and let everybody get back to what they're doing. I'm going to play a couple of songs and at the end of this segment.
All right. Now have a good night. Love you both. Bye-bye.
All right. Love you, too.
Take care. Enjoy yourself.
Okay.
All right. So, Sugar, have a good evening.
All right. And if you want to listen in, the songs will start playing now.
All right. Have a good evening.
All right. You, too.
Help me, fella, say. Working for the Lord is a 24-hour job. And that it's not in what you say or in the songs that you sing that defines your relationship with the Lord, but it's rather in the way that you live. Ooh. And not only that, but we gotta learn to love one another because Jesus is love. It's my job. Yeah! So, saints, we gotta stop playing church and begin to start living what we preach about. It's your job!
Hi, this is Ms. Sugar of Faith Based Purpose. I am your moderator. Your host is Evangelist Patricia Williams, co-host Reverend Roosevelt Williams. The call-in number for the show is 718-305-6798. Again, that's 718-305-6798. We would love to have you join our discussions. Bring your scripture, bring a friend, and be a part of the show. We thank